This is North Shore Today for Thursday, January 7th. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. Welcome to the program where we discuss issues of the day here on the North Shore and a variety of other topics that impact everybody's life, whether you're in Oklahoma or in Orange, Massachusetts, I suppose. And it looks like a sunny day today, but then increasing clouds and high around 40. Not too bad for January. I was going to say September, I guess.
Okay.
Not bad for January.
Right, right. Have you been to Oklahoma?
I don't know that I have. I don't know that I have, yeah.
All right. I've been to Oklahoma. How about Orange? Have you been out to Orange?
Oh, definitely been to Orange, yeah. Well, they have the sky jumpers out there sometimes.
I was going to say, you didn't do skydiving, did you?
No, I didn't, but I can remember I'm going through there, and I used to do a lot of hiking with my kids years ago, and we'd head out there different places, and one of them was out in that area. You go by there, and I think we stumbled on the sky jumpers, having a hard time selecting the correct word to insert into a sentence here today. So, anyways, it was. Yeah, so the sky jumpers, the parachutists. It's kind of neat to see. And
I worked with a woman many years in the math department, and when she became a grandmother, I think she was in her mid to late 50s. She went skydiving out there with her son for the first time, and he's a cinematographer or whatever you call it with Disney out in California. So they got some film and some fantastic pictures, but I can't imagine taking up skydiving as a grandparent.
No, I can't imagine it. I mean, I guess it, if you're going to, remember where I was talking about the odds yesterday about flying and how probably safe it is if you just do the math on it, and probably today it's probably the same way. But I'm thinking back, you remember when George Herbert Walker Bush, in his late 80s and 90s would be jumping out of the plane at his age. He had somebody helping him at that age, but he would still jump out of the plane. But boy, when he was in World War II, I'm thinking some of those parachutes and stuff, it was a different time back then, and you kind of hope they open up, but I think there was some times when they didn't open up, I'm guessing, but whatever. So, hey, I want to just share on, before we get going on the program here, our videos today. Now, a couple of videos have come to my attention. Well, one of them has. It's kind of a timely video, but, to me, it's not the funniest thing in the world, but some folks think it's kind of neat. And it's Donald Trump being interviewed by Barbara Walters with a British accent. So they slap in another voice for Donald. You tell me whether you think that it adds a little more sophistication to the Donald or not. That's one of our videos up there. It's very short. We also have our look back at our old-time videos. We got Rich Little, a very young Rich Little, who was the... He did voices, and he would again. Rick, I'm searching for the word
impressionist,
and I'm coming up with ventriloquist. So he's an impressionist, and he was very good. He was state of the art. He was the guy at the time back in the 60s and so 70s. But anyways, Rich Little is on the Judy Garland show of all places, and I think it's about 7 minutes long. So he does a lot of different voices, but he certainly does show off his talent. And then the other one here is Ellen DeGeneres. And, Ellen right now, people know her for her afternoon talk show. But she was an incredible stand-up comedian. And I think this is a classic clip of a very early Ellen DeGeneres. And I'm not sure if this is the one. Yeah, I think this is the one on The Tonight Show, her first Tonight Show ever appearance with Johnny Carson. But it's just classic Ellen DeGeneres, the way she's able to take a phrase, move on, and twist it around and come back at you when... pretty funny stuff. Ellen DeGeneres, her very first television appearance on the Johnny Carson show. So those are three videos that we have up there today.
Should be fun on my run today. That'll make it easier for me to get back and forth listening to those people.
We also have put up there yesterday our own local content. We visited with the Salem High basketball team. They're 7-0 right now. And so we got interviews with all four of their captains, Coach Tom Doyle from Salem High basketball, and they're hosting Danvers on Friday night and over at Salem High School. So we got Coach Doyle and his captains on the website as well. And in this program here today, we'll run Coach Doyle's interview that we did, his radio interview with us, at the tail end of our program here today on North Shore Today.
Yeah, another good game last night too, Bill. And thanks for getting the wrap-up and the last half minute or so of the game. Great game between Marblehead and Danvers, and people would want to check out the information that we have on the site as well. And thanks to both ADs, of course, as always, and also to Coach Jackson and Coach Leonard over at Coach Jackson and Marblehead, Coach Leonard at Peabody. A lot of fun last night over in Peabody.
Yep, great. And it sounds like a very physical game yesterday, huh? Last night, rather, yeah.
You know, it really was a physical game, and we've seen a few of those this year so far in the conference. And Peabody, really, with the height and weight advantage, Marblehead has a couple of big guys as well. But it was a really good, solid hockey game. I don't know how the coaches will evaluate it. I actually emailed Coach Leonard at the end just to let him know where the game was posted. And he emailed, and I said, you know, great game for the fans. And he said something to the effect, well, it might have been a great game for the fan, not so much for the coaches.
Well, anyways, in our next broadcast, we'll have a girls' basketball game on Friday night when Salem goes to play at Danvers. So we're trying to do a girls' game and a boys' game every week here or something like that. So we got the girls up on Friday night, and Coach John Fortunato taking on from Salem. Pat Ballou and the Danvers girls on Friday night. Also, in our news, here are the top two stories, Rick, out of in the Daily Item today. And it's two follow-up stories. And in the local news on television today, they're also following up on that big Saugus fire on Essex Street. And again, we can't do justice to it by just talking about it. But just to point out, I guess there were a couple of very heroic Malden firefighters that were there helping out this three-alarm fire on Essex Street. All three residents of the house got out safely. That's the great news. But the firefighters kind of got trapped in there at some point early yesterday morning, Wednesday morning. And but anyways, it was a great job by these firefighters, and I think a couple of them from Malden just were very heroic, and a great shout out or salute to them at the Malden Fire Department for their work.
Yeah, there was a fire in Essex also, Bill, yesterday that destroyed a barn in Essex. It was a two-alarm fire on Route 133 in Essex. And the building, let me see here, owned by Georgianne Richards of Sea Meadow Gifts and Garden Shop on Main Street in Essex, I guess, is a total loss. Essex Fire Department taking care of it. But thank goodness no injuries and no loss of pet life either in that one.
All right, now here's a follow-up to a story we talked about before the break, the holiday break, and this is the Swampscott principal story. And let me just read this, because this is also making news. This is from our friend Steve Krause wrote this in today's Item news editor, the Item news editor. More information on the Edward Ruzmerick situation, who resigned last month as principal at Swampscott High School. He was placed on administrative leave, and something was as a result of an investigation by Beverly Police. Now I'm skimming through this and leaving out some of the words here. So according to reports, Ruzmerick of Beverly had a series of internet chats with someone that he thought was a 13-year-old girl. However, the report said Ruzmerick was actually corresponding with a trained decoy from a nonprofit group called the Perverted Justice Foundation. So that's what that, you know, in the headline today, it's Perverted Justice Foundation, and I think the DA, John Blodgett's office, was involved in this as well. So and let me just follow up on this. It turned over the logs, the screen images that it captured, along with text messages, photos, and emails in the investigation. Also, you know, there was, I don't want to go into this really any more than what I've just done, but just that, I think, gives you pretty much the story here, I think. But again, he had used his school laptop, and there were images on that. And so, anyways, that's so apparently, I guess there's not necessarily charges out of this, but in a way, otherwise, but certainly his career has been slowed.
Knee jerk, Bill. As an educator, I bristle at that so much because, you know, I was taught early on. I get many of us were taught early on, most of us. That you, when you're in a position of trust like that, you just can't violate it in any way, shape, or form. And I remember a long time ago when I was very young teaching, and you know, when you're a young teacher, you're only 3 or 4 years older than the students. It's a little strange at first, but I do remember when one of my colleagues started going out with a kid in school, and it just bothered me at that time, and things like that just really bother me. And I, you know, as you say, I don't know the particulars, but sad to hear that stuff. And I also, I took a course a long time ago, Bill, at on child abuse and how kids react to tragedies and so on and violence. And one of the statistics that blew me away, and I don't remember the stat exactly, but the story behind the stat was that wherever there are children, there are predators. And that means whatever you can think of, daycare centers, schools, photographers, sports teams, wherever there are buses, wherever there are kids, there are predators. And so you've got to be on the alert all the time. And that just bothers me so much.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's interesting. And it's funny when you think about it in that way too, but when somebody puts it in a clear, concise sentence like you're just describing it, it does bring it home. That just makes a lot of sense, obviously. Hey, I'm going to change the subject a little bit here. In today's Wall Street Journal, they have a page on gadgets. Now, who would have thought this? We've talked about self-driving cars. We've got smartphones, smartwatches, all of this stuff. Here's one for you. This is the Digisole. It's a smart shoe. All right? So you should see what this thing looks like. But it's a smart shoe. And, basically... when you pair your smartphone with the Digisole's smart shoe, you can wirelessly control the temperature of the insole, adjust the snugger fit, and even turn on the shoe's built-in flashlight. Naturally, it tracks your step count to calculate calories burned and distance walked. And what would sneakers of the future be without a built-in wireless charging? If you miss the charging mat, you'll still get multiple days of charge, says the French maker, which promises this tall order of for the fall at a price tag of $450 for a pair of smart shoes.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Bill, and I'm going to predict I probably won't be getting those this year.
Yeah. No, here's the thing, too. Can you imagine coming home and going, wait a minute, I can't take my shoes off. I've lost my remote. come on,
I don't know, man.
Does that make life any easier? I don't think so. To me.
Lights and shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. I got to go plug in my shoes. I got to charge them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I don't. Hey, I got one in Gloucester that's of interest. And then there's a couple of art things that are pretty interesting, music and arts. And I'm not sure which science center this is, but apparently NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, is considering taking its Northeast Science Center out of Woods Hole. Now, I don't know if that's the big research center, science center, or a different one. I'm guessing it's a different one. But if, in fact, they are deciding to move, Gloucester is going to put in a bid and try to attract the NOAA Center, Science Center, up into Gloucester. And, of course, the fishing industry has a lot of complaints with NOAA on how they... So it'd be, I'm wondering, the spider to the fly, right? But that's of interest. Then there's a couple of articles. I imagine they're in the Salem News, Newburyport News as well. But the Salem Philharmonic is in its second century of playing music. And a great article on the Salem Philharmonic. The concerts are on Sunday afternoons at 3 p.m. starting on January 10. So for the month of January and then the first Sunday in February, the Philharmonic is performing at Salem High School, and the admission is free. And then they're also up in Newburyport. The Actor Studio of Newburyport is showing a trio of short plays, and that will be January 8 to 17. Performances are at 8 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays, and the cost there is $20 at the Actor Studio of Newburyport, which is the Tannery Marketplace, 50 Water Street in Newburyport. So a couple of cultural items from the sports guys.
Right. Fantastic. That's great. And this other story caught my eye this morning, and it's written up in the paper as well here, but it was on the news that Macy's. Now, we talk about, looking at, we've talked many times about how things are changing, and Macy's is like the anchor department store at all the major malls all around, at least the Northeast anyway. And they're closing some stores, they say, because of costs as sales declined over the holiday season. However, two stores in Massachusetts apparently are closing, but none of them in this area, rather within the 128 belt. So I think there's one out in Springfield. There's one somewhere else. There's one in Connecticut in the Northeast. But so Macy's closing some stores. And I guess it just you know, whether our stores close or do not close in this area. Well, I guess we have them at the North Shore Mall in Peabody and the Square One Mall in Saugus. But obviously, it sounds like something's happening retail-wise, and just something to keep our eyes on, and so on. And but the malls are still, you know, something, Rick. You know, I'm looking back at the holiday season. I really don't think I really went to the malls that much during the holiday season. I went to, as a grandparent now, I went to the toy store nearby, I think. But I didn't really walk into the mall like it's almost always a tradition to kind of at least at some point during the holiday season, you're into the mall at some point, at least walking around and doing stuff. And I'm thinking this year I never even did that.
I did not. And I went afterwards. I had to return an item that we bought online after Christmas. I had to return it to one of the local establishments. When was it? A couple days ago. And yeah, it was Monday. And man, the line was a mile long. I was surprised. I thought it was the day after Christmas, but and that was convenient returning because we got something online. But then I was able to return it at the retail store. And the only, you know what? The only time we went, I think we went to the movies. That's it.
I don't even count. I wouldn't count the movies either. I mean, again, I've been to the mall. I'm trying to think, but you know, sometimes it's just you go to the mall. I mean, and you're looking to buy something for someone, and that's where you go. But I'm just trying to think that those kinds of things didn't happen. I mean, I think I met Bob Gunther at the food court a couple of weeks ago, but I don't think that counts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I went to the registry. I don't think that counts either, though.
Yeah, I don't think that really counts. You know, that
no.
As a, I don't think Macy's would count it. I guess that's what I'm saying, or yeah. Some of the other stores. But anyways, all right. Well, Rick, anything else? Let's shoot out of here. Let's take a quick break here. We got Coach Tom Doyle joining us from Salem High Basketball. He'll join us to talk a little bit about North Shore High School basketball, and we'll come back with our wrap just ahead here on North Shore Today.
Salem High boys basketball coach Tom Doyle is here with us. And Tom, you guys are off to a great start. Is this the best start you've been off to ever at Salem, or at 7-0?
I'm not sure about ever, but it's certainly something that, you know, we haven't been this successful early on in many years now that I can remember.
But you've had great teams, great success, and so I didn't mean to downplay that piece to you, but tough basketball for sure. Well, I guess tell me what's come together for Salem basketball so far then.
Well, we have four returning starters, senior starters, that have a lot of experience and have really worked hard in the offseason and during the season on their games. And they know each other really well. And we also have a fifth starter, a sophomore, that stepped up, was our sixth man last year. And they've played together a lot, and they're really working hard and playing together as a team right now.
Now, you don't have a ton of height, correct?
I wouldn't say any height. We have like 14 two guards and one four man that's about 5'10". But kids are really stepping up to the challenge and playing different roles and doing things that where we have a void.
All right, let's talk about some of those names, if you could. The starters, and you know, we don't have to go through everybody, but some. Tell me a little bit more about some of the kids.
Well, we have our returning captain, Kelvin Perpetuo. You know, is one of our point guards. We really have two point guards that start out there for us, and he's very solid out there, very steady with the ball, scores when needed, plays solid defense, and does whatever's needed on a given basis for us. Our other point guard, Alex Sanchez, number one, is a senior captain guard as well. Very quick player, very very small, but plays a lot bigger than his size, and you know, very quick, solid defender. Creates a lot of problems offensively because he can shoot it and uses speed to go by people. Another Joel Nunez, number 10, another senior captain, is a wing player, shooter, scorer. Great defensive player for us. He had 30 points in the opener against Marblehead for us this year, and another kid that steps up and does whatever's needed on a given basis. And we have Jonell Roberts, which is our so-called center. He's really like a two or three guy, but he's playing center for us, and he steps out and hits the three. He rebounds with the best of them, and really is a developed into a really nice player for us. And our last starter is sophomore guard Ricky Arias. who has really stepped up, had a great freshman year, has really improved so far. He had a 30-point game against Winthrop this year and a couple 20-point games, and he's another kid that can take it off the dribble, can shoot and score, defends well. You know, they're all five of them are really unselfish. Everyone's kind of stepped up and taken a different scoring lead for us throughout the year. We haven't had one consistent guy, you know, scoring all the points for us. It's different guys on different nights, and they're really an unselfish bunch.
I thought I just came up with a new term for Jonell. This is a two guard that plays a center, is a 2.5.
Yeah,
what do you think?
Nice. I like that. I like it.
Okay. It, not that much, though. All right. So now you got Danvers coming up on Friday, and I know you saw people that saw the, you talked to people that saw the game and so on. Now, Danvers, I've seen them twice so far this year. They're not the same Danvers team as a year ago, but they're going to play hard.
Oh, they're excellent. They're defending state champs. They're an excellent team, excellent program, well-coached. They got a lot of returning experience. They don't have the same height that maybe they had last year, but they're very similar to us. I think it's going to be a great matchup both ways. We both have perimeter speed, and we both have athletic ability. I watched them play once and have heard numerous reports, and they are an excellent team, and it's going to be a very, very tough game Friday night.
What about, and again, these are, let me ask you, pick your brain on other North Shore basketball here, last maybe question in general on that piece would be, you used to have the battles when Classical and English were in your division. Now, you haven't played them yet, but I was a little surprised to see Classical beat English last night by the 20 points. I had seen English, and I had seen some other scores, and I'm not watching it carefully. I just thought that would be a close game, and maybe English would be favored.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things in the North where I think there's a lot of balance this year. And to see the 20-point spread, I was a little surprised, but I wasn't at the game. I don't know how the flow of the game went and everything. But at the same time, I think all those teams in the North are outstanding. With us moving to the South this year, we do only see them once. But I think any team in that North is very capable of beating each other and beating any team, not just each other, but beating any team. I think there's going to be a lot of great games. And just to show you, English beat Classical the week before. So it's one of those things where, you know, I think there's going to be battles in the North all year long amongst all those teams.
Tom, anything else to share with us about Salem basketball?
Nope, just, you know, thank you very much for having me. And, you know, enjoy the day.
All right, Tom. Tom Doyle, boys basketball coach at Salem High School on MSONewsSports.com.
All right, we've got plenty more live broadcasting coming up as well. And don't forget, on Friday, Trending Now, Josh Arnold will be back with his series of interviews with old politicians and officials and people of interest all over the North Shore, as well as more sports to come. Right, Bill?
You got it. We got high school basketball Friday night, girls action, Salem at Danvers, 7 o'clock tip-off from Danvers High School. And hang in there with us. We've got a couple of other sports features that will be going up here in the next 24 hours as well. And do check out our Salem High Boys basketball feature up on the website. So that'll do it for us for today. Along with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell on North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.